The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Peter Boyles, your voice against the concrete jungle on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Still waiting for some sunshine. Oh, dark 30 at 703. Randy Corporan in. With, as I said early this morning, my final bite at the Peter Boyles apple for this year anyway. Peter will be back on Monday morning. I'll be in tomorrow for my regular Saturdays, although it's a special six-hour edition of Wake Up with Randy Corporan. Deborah Flora will handle 6 to 9. I'll be in 9 to 12. And if you were with us yesterday, you heard me retelling the story of the murder of my cousin and his grandson about 5.5 years ago, Kansas City Jewish Center Jewish Community Center in Overland Park, Kansas, and the fact that a large Muslim center has been approved by the city council in Overland Park, and that Linda Sarsour is coming in to give a fundraising keynote speech in January in Overland Park in support of this massive Muslim center. And when I saw that story yesterday, I immediately reached out to Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch, really one of the foremost experts on Islam and Sharia law and what's happening in America, Europe. The guy's been banned from England because he is outspoken and telling the truth about Islam. And we're going to have him Saturday, I believe in the 9 o'clock hour, to talk a little bit about that and a host of other things. He's back in the saddle and doing quite well. So really looking forward to that conversation tomorrow. Coming up in a few minutes, Jenny Beth Martin from Tea Party Patriots, her latest in the Hill, why Donald Trump will win in 2020. It's all laying out, isn't it? The fundraising, the polling, the Democrat self-destruction. This ridiculous position that they've taken, that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to the United States of America. But we're going to hold these articles of impeachment while we try and blackmail Mitch McConnell into running the Senate portion of this whole process the way we want him to. And as you would expect, we called this. It was last week, maybe, or maybe it was at the beginning of this week before Christmas. We named the people that we had to worry about. The president wants a trial. He wants a full exoneration. He doesn't want a dismissal. He doesn't want an acquittal. He wants to lay it out there. He wants a whistleblower. He wants the Bidens. And my concern about that, I think this thing should be nipped in the bud, put to bed. The American people have moved on. You can tell it from the polling. You can tell it from the ratings. The Democrat debates, even though it was a smaller number on stage, the lowest ratings of any of the 6 or 7 debates that they've done so far. People are not paying attention to this foolishness. So why run the risk of having Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts presiding, or the 3 risky Republicans that I identified, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Mitt Romney, of course, from Utah, and Susan Collins. Now we hear about some Republican organization, or at least it's named itself a Republican organization, that is putting up billboards along I-25 calling on Cory Gardner to demand a fair process. And so the pressure is on. And the question is, should there be a trial? And will Mitch McConnell hold strong on his position that if the articles ever come over, we're going to hear from the prosecution side, the Democrat House member who comes over with the articles, Then we're going to hear from the president's side, and then we're going to take a vote about whether to move forward with a trial. If there really are legitimate causes for that rise to the level of impeachable offenses. President says it's a perfect phone call. I tend to agree. Wow, the TV just turned on in here. That is hilarious. Haven't had sound on that TV all week, and it just popped on right here in the studio. That's okay. It's okay. People are messing with me, I think. Anyway, so the question is, trial, no trial, will Mitch McConnell stand strong? Here's what Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, a very, very, I mean, moderate Republican, really doesn't qualify when you talk about her voting record, the sneaky way she got into office, and all of those things. But here's what she had to say.
With President Trump facing an impeachment, there are questions about impartiality. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has said there will be total coordination with the Senate and the White House Counsel's Office.
And in fairness, when I heard that, I was disturbed.
Murkowski says while this isn't a criminal trial, the Senate is still required to do impartial justice under the Constitution.
To me, it means that we have to take that step back from being hand in glove with the defense. And so I heard what Leader McConnell had said. I happen to think that that has further confused the process. For me to prejudge and say there's nothing there, or on the other hand, he should be impeached yesterday, that's wrong. In my view, that's wrong. If it means that I am viewed as one who looks openly and critically at every issue in front of me rather than acting as a rubber stamp for my party or my president, I'm totally good with that. I am totally, totally good with that.
Yeah, of course you are, Ms. Murkowski. How much are you telling me you didn't watch the House proceedings? You're not aware of every bit or lack of evidence, any direct evidence of any actual offense, any objectionable, much less impeachable actions by this president? Come on. This is not a trial. You are not sitting as a juror. As a senator, you will sit there quietly under pain of jail. You will sit there quietly. If you have a question for a witness, you will have to write it down and hand it to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who is the presiding officer in that circumstance. It is a political process. It is not a criminal process. So, of course, we're not going to have fair and impartial assessments of the evidence, you idiot. It despises me. It despises me. I despise people who put their thought processes together the way Murkowski did. Does she not understand the history of impeachment? Does she not understand that the design of impeachment was to be a process that was bipartisan? That there was such significant support for actually overturning the results of an election? That people from both sides or all sides of the political spectrum would come together in sufficient numbers to say, yes, this behavior is so bad, it shall not stand. Murkowski is virtue signaling, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. Let's get to some of these calls before our next guest at 7:25, and we've got one line open, 303-696-1971. We'll start with Jim in Cheyenne. Thanks for waiting, and good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
Well, I just wanted to call and thank you and everyone at the station for keeping us all company and watching our backside for the last year, obviously more than that. But it's a big deal. You know, I used to be a tow truck driver, I heard the other day. That's pretty impressive. That's a tough job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I used to do a little repo action, so it had a little tinge of excitement built into it.
I'll bet you carried a way to protect yourself when you did that. That's a tough job, huh?
It was a big Rottweiler that rode around in the back of that thing. That was one approach that I had, but yeah. I have been chased.
Yeah, I'll bet,
those circumstances.
I'll bet you have. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to thank you for everything you folks are doing. Obviously, Peter is an amazing person, and absent Casey, but the new producer that's there. What is the new producer's name?
Billy.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So up in Cheyenne, it's freezing. We're cold. It's probably cold in Denver. Global warming is just killing us.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
The temperature's actually going down still. Last time I checked, 22 in Denver, 24 in Aurora, high today 38 with some snow. But, you know, we really appreciate it. We had a gathering last week that included Casey Bloyer. It was really fun to get some of the old crew together. And, of course, Peter will be back Monday morning, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and fresh from a week off. So that'll be terrific. But especially given the month that 710 has had, it's really nice to hear that from, I mean, the listeners and the loyalty here. Around this station, the way people turn out to events or follow up with legislators, et cetera. We really are the ones who feel appreciative, but it's awful nice to hear your kind words this morning, Jim. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're a motorcycle rider, is that right?
You better believe it. Harleys are right. Us.
Cool. I'll tell you a quick story. We go to Glacier National Park, which is Kalispell, Montana.
Okay.
Unload a glacier and then ride up there over to Canada and then come back around. And it's a nice trip. Stop by Custard's Last Stand. Last 2 years, Glacier, they've been able to open. July 4th, the snow is still so deep at Glacier that you can't go into the visitor center, which is at the apex of the run. So it's been really incredible. We'll make it on the bikes and all that, but it's really changed a lot. Super cold up there. Great ride, though. Great ride.
Well, we all know why Democrats went from global warming to global cooling to global climate change, because now they're never wrong. It's just hilarious. Well, that's awesome, Jim. And Peter's always bugging me to go to Sturgis. I know it's the 80th next year, so I may break down and finally make that ride. But riders get it, right? We all know what the love is, and it's far more than just sitting on a machine. I watched a two-hour documentary yesterday on the life of Evel Knievel.
Oh.
And I got to go to the Evel Knievel Museum when they first opened it. I was on a motorcycle trip, and it's in Topeka, Kansas, at an old one of the original Harley dealerships.
Oh.
And so I was riding my Harley, and so it was just perfect to ride in, do the museum. They had a virtual reality ride where you got on a mock-up of Evel Knievel's Harley, and then you jumped.
Yeah.
You got to jump, drive around a downtown street, jump over some cars, and
wow.
It was really, really cool. So, yeah, thanks for spurring that memory for me. I appreciate it, Jim. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Hey, you too. Anytime you want to talk about Evel Knievel and racing, I was there, didn't see it personally, but watched them set up the ramps over Caesar's Palace and the fountain. We used to race Barstow to Vegas on dirt bikes as kids. And actually, Steve McQueen used to race it, too. Just really cool. He's a good rider, by the way.
That's
really good.
That's hilarious. When I was a kid, I had a dirt bike, and the place to ride it, we lived in Chicago at the time, was just a little SL70 Honda. And I was just a little kid, you know, 12 years old, 13 maybe. And the place to ride it was right next to the Arlington Cemetery. And there were jumps, and we'd really jump the bikes, and we'd have little competitions there and got pretty good. And one year they started building up this huge dirt wall. They were putting in a reservoir, a water reservoir. And so, of course, we took that as an opportunity to hit that and go up the side and ride around the rim and everything and jump into the bottom of it. And so the weather changed in Chicago, and I had a habit of always tearing the bike down, cleaning everything up and putting it away, and then I'd put it back together in the spring. But the weather got good in Chicago, so I threw the engine on it, and I don't think I had fenders. I didn't put the lights back on, just the tank, the engine, the seat, and I took off up to the cemetery. And so I'm getting my bearings, doing some little jumps, riding some wheelies, playing around, having some fun, and now I'm ready. And I hit the wall, the dirt wall, heading up over the top of the reservoir to take the big jump onto the sandy bottom down at the bottom. Yeah. And as I came over the top, Jim, I realized that they'd filled the damn thing.
Did you crash?
Yeah, I went right in the water.
So you crashed, you bled, you lived, you're okay.
I didn't.
What a deal. That's the real world.
I didn't even get hurt. I mean, it just scared the crap out of me. And the bike kept running a little bit underwater. It finally sputtered out, but in about 10 minutes I had it going and took my wet self, wet and cold self home, and learned that you never jump over something that you haven't first scouted out what's on the other side.
There's a life lesson there, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that's a good one. All right, Jim, good stuff,
fine.
Man.
Take a good day.
All right, you
Thank
too.
You.
I'll tell you the stories that pop up. All right, who are we going to get to here? Janice. Let's go to Janice in Walsenburg. Janice, thanks for waiting. Welcome. Janice?
Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, is this Randy Corcoran?
You got him.
Hey, you had Daniel Horowitz on yesterday, and you had a couple of minutes there of his conversation from the Conservative Review.
Yes.
Is there any chance you could run that information on your radio program a little another time, like Saturday or something? Because that was really good.
Do you have access to our podcasts?
No, sir.
Okay.
And down here where I live, we don't hardly get any radio reception down here on the regular airwaves. We have to pull it in on some other cell phone or something else.
I see. Well, are you able to email or do anything? Do you have any kind of internet connection?
No, sir. I'm just have a cell phone. But I want to. What I'm saying is that information. If you could put that out to a lot of people, because I had never heard a lot of that before, how the grassroots and the local communities are facing these kind of issues that they don't understand what's happening to them.
Yeah.
And the more people that hear that, the better.
Well, that's a really good point, and we might replay some of that interview tomorrow on Wake Up with Randy Corcoran, or maybe I'll talk about it a little bit more, because it is a real action item for local communities where these refugees are being settled. The president has created a system now where both the governor and the local officials in a community have to approve the resettlement of refugees that are brought into the United States of America. And it's an opportunity for citizens to go to their county commissioners or whoever is making those decisions and make their feelings known about that. So I'm glad that was significant for you, Janice. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for calling the show.
All right. Thank you.
All right, and we've got a guest in a few minutes. Josh, let's just make it really, really quick. Josh and Aurora, go. Josh, you there? All right, maybe listening on his radio. Josh, you can always call back. We'll have some time here in about 20 minutes. But when we come back on the other side, Jenny Beth Martin, co-founder of Tea Party Patriots, my good friend, has a brand new piece in The Hill, Why Donald Trump Will Win in 2020. And she'll share it with us when we come back. Right here on The Peter Boyle Show at 710 KNUS.
This is The Peter Boyle Show.
Those songs, it's kind of hard to step on, but when you've got a great guest on the line, there is no choice. Coming up on 7:25 here on the Peter Boyle Show, Randy Corcoran filling in today. Finally, a sighting of some sun out there, a lot of clouds, but at least it's brightening up. Has not warmed up a bit, actually has gotten colder in Denver, 22 degrees there, 24 in Aurora. We'll see some snow later on this afternoon. High today, 38, 30 tomorrow, 32 on Sunday. So nothing spectacular ahead, but a spectacular interview coming up. Jenny Beth, loved this piece she had in The Hill about why Donald Trump will get reelected in 2020. Just so many things seem to be lining up. Of course, November is a long ways away, but let's check in with Jenny Beth Martin, the founder of Tea Party Patriots, honorary chairman of the Tea Party Patriots Action Committee, and she joins us now. Jenny Beth, where are we hearing from you from? Where are you?
I am in Atlanta and spending the holidays with my children, so it's nice. And I think we might have a little nicer weather than you right now. It's a little bit warmer.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we had Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams on earlier. Hadn't talked to him in a while in Colorado. We're just a few days away now from the implementation of our red flag bill. But we reminisced a little bit about the 921 rally. And I just wanted to say again to you, what it meant to all of us here that you went ahead and rearranged your plans from our big Tea Party rally in Washington, D.C. to redirect through Denver and stand with us at that 921 rally. That that is patriotism in action, and I'm glad that you felt it was as important as we did.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I really do. I think that it's important to make sure that we're sending a message that we stand up for our secure borders and that we stand with the ICE officers who are helping to make sure that we do have a secure border in this country, whether it's along the border or in the interior. And I was just glad to be there. Thank you for allowing me to be there.
One of the things I love about Tea Party Patriots, even though it's a national group, is it is really driven by local coordinators, local leaders. You don't make a lot of top-down decisions. You know, we'll have votes during national phone calls and that sort of thing. And you're also so quick to respond. When the impeachment, as it began to become a reality, Tea Party Patriots was one of the first to put together a Trump defense team. And tell folks a little bit about that and how they can engage with it.
Right. So we in those calls that we do every week with our local leaders, we kept saying we think that the Democrats are going to move on impeachment. We just don't know when. We need to be prepared. So as soon as Pelosi came out and announced that she was going to begin impeachment, we started working with local people around the country and doing events outside of local congressional offices. And I realized quickly that we needed to do something to make sure that the local people around the country, whether it's an organizer or an individual activist, has the information they need to be able to defend the president. Whether it's information that we at Tea Party Patriots are able to provide, we usually do a lot more activism and how to be active type assistance, or information from the House and the Senate or the White House or wherever it may be, so you've got the points and the facts and know how to talk about what's going on with impeachment so you can defend the president. So we created the Trump Defense Team. People can go to the website at TrumpDefenseTeam.com, TrumpDefenseTeam.com, to find information about it. But we've got weekly calls to action. We have the ability for people to sign up for much more frequent emails than our regular email lists that are just about impeachment. So during the different hearings over on the House side, while the hearings were live, we were pushing information out to those lists, kind of blowing up people's emails. So you don't have to get on that if you don't want to, but you are able to go and tweet about it and counter the information that was coming out from the left. And then also making sure that people had what they need to have so they can write letters to the editor, so they can go visit their member of Congress, whether it's a senator or a congressman, and make sure that they understand you do not want to see President Trump impeached. You don't want to see him removed from office. And frankly, the Democrats' case just it doesn't hold up. There's no evidence to support what they're saying. Both Presidents Trump and Zelensky said there was no pressure on the call. We can read the actual call transcript, or call summary would be a more accurate description. We see that there was no conditionality placed on the aid. And the supposed investigation or announcement of an investigation from Ukraine was never announced, and the aid was still released and flowed to Ukraine. And we were able to get that information and those points out consistently and to continue to reiterate them with each point the Democrats made.
The thinnest, the narrowest, and the fastest impeachment in modern history, and the only impeachment in all of American history that wasn't a bipartisan effort. In fact, the only bipartisan vote was against impeachment. So it really is a joke. And one of the features that has really been useful to me is being a part of these phone calls where we've gotten to hear from congressional representatives, White House representatives, Senate representatives about kind of the next stages, how they're assessing things. And so this is just one of the many, many things that Tea Party Patriots makes available to folks. One thing, and, you know, I'm 60 years old now, and it's certainly quite obvious that for Republicans and for the Tea Party, typically our demographic is older. And you mentioned it, and I use it as though it's just common for everybody. Social media is so very important as the great equalizer to the mainstream media and the way they align their messages and then hammer them day after day. What do you say to folks who are just not willing to invest the energy to get onto Twitter or utilize a Facebook page and take advantage of those tools, not only for quick information, quick connection about events or other things that are going on, but especially to be able to have their voice heard out there in the world? It really does matter to our elected officials and others what's being said on places like Twitter.
Yes, especially on Twitter. And the reason for that is that the media in Washington, D.C. and New York pay attention to what's on Twitter. And even C-SPAN pays attention to it, and they have a running running tweets going during the hearing from the House Democrats and the House Republicans on the committee. So it does make a difference. I get it. I try to avoid being on social media as often as I am able to avoid it. And you have to be on there, and it's important to be on Twitter, even though it's a pain in the neck to use. It's important to be on it because the media is paying attention to it. And if we are not on it, then they're only going to see the liberal viewpoint and report on the liberal viewpoint as if that's what America is talking about. If you just absolutely don't want to be on social media, that's fine. You don't have to be. You can still sign up for our email list, and it's very important that you're making phone calls into your members of Congress's office. And perhaps if you really don't want to be on social media and you are willing to invest the time, you could go to their offices and show up in person. I think that Senator Gardner, as this moves over to the Senate side, is going to need encouragement and thanks as he defends the president. So if you don't want to be on social media and you are willing to take the time, go visit his office and thank him so far for standing strong and encourage him to continue to do so. He's going to need it because I think the left is going to be all over him to try to pressure him not to defend the president.
Yeah, apparently there is according to Colorado Politics, I forget who brought this to my attention this morning, but some Republican group, and I'll see if I can pull up the name, but is putting billboards up against Senator Cory Gardner, telling him that, we have to it's Republicans for the rule of law. And they're going to put up billboards urging Gardner to demand witnesses in the upcoming impeachment trial of President Trump. Of course, that presupposes that Nancy Pelosi ever gets around to bringing the articles of impeachment over to the Senate. But what in the world kind of a Republican group would be putting up billboards like that? I haven't dug into this group yet, but I will before my show tomorrow.
Yeah, I have not heard of it. I would not be surprised if it's some holdovers from the Never Trump movement. The fact is, the president is entitled to executive privilege. Whether it's President Trump or President Obama or some future president, they're entitled to executive privilege. If we get to a situation in this country where the president of the United States is not able to have conversations with people who are members of his cabinet and key advisors to the president, if he cannot have those conversations and be able to work out strategy and things that the president, must be able to do to make decisions so that he can be the commander in chief and the chief executive of the United States of America, then we are going to tie the hands of the president behind his back and make it impossible for that person, no matter who it is, to do their job. So what the president did do in this situation is he released the call summary, and that is the best evidence of what happened on the phone call. And the people who are saying they're Republicans for the rule of law, okay, well, the president actually violated past president's precedent and released a call transcript from a conversation with a foreign leader so that he could do what he had to cooperate with this investigation. But he should not make the office of the president weaker just to appease political opponents. And that's what they're demanding right now.
Well, you'll be very, very surprised. While I was listening to your answer, I was scrolling through this article, and Republicans for the Rule of Law describes itself as lifelong Republicans dedicated to defending the institutions of our republic and upholding the rule of law. We're fighting to make sure that the laws apply equally to everyone, from the average citizen to the president of the United States. It is part of a larger organization called Defending Democracy Together, which is led by such prominent, and I'm putting up air quotes here, conservatives as Bill Kristol, Mona Sharon, and Linda Chavez, who is actually here from Boulder. So it's a never Trump organization, people who still have ours next to their name. And so people should give that all the attention that it deserves, which is about none. These guys are going to spend upwards of $150,000 on these billboards. They're also going to put TV ads on Fox News, Fox and Friends, Hannity, Lou Dobbs, and elsewhere. Wow.
So, and that's why getting on Twitter is important. And it's also why showing up at Senator Gardner's office is important. Bill Kristol doesn't live in Colorado. He's not going to be voting for Cory Gardner, but your listeners are. So getting there and showing up and thanking him for standing strong and asking and encouraging him to continue to do so is important. We saw what happened during the Kavanaugh hearing, and I have no reason to expect that the radical liberals, and I'm not saying every liberal, just those who are very, very radical, will act in any different manner. Perhaps they will, but I'm not counting on that. So for us to be there and encourage him to stand strong and to stand for the president is going to be very important.
You know, Bill Kristol does not respond to my texts anymore.
Well, I guess that he just, you know, that kind of just is an example of what politics are like today.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with people, they just shut you off.
Yeah, the last interview I did with him was on this station, and as I started to press him on some of his never Trumpism, he all of a sudden said he had a breakfast he had to go to. Typically in the past, he'd stay over a break, he'd do a couple of segments with me. Soon as I started pressing him, he had an appointment. He couldn't go any further, and he's never come on or responded to a text since. So that tells you the lack of integrity that these people have. And I'll just tell you, then we'll spend a couple minutes and talk about your piece. These same ads, the same group is targeting Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, and Susan Collins. Oh, and Lamar Alexander of Tennessee. So those are the weak links in the Republican Party that they've identified. I don't think they're going to find Cory Gardner to be among them.
No, I don't think that they will. I think that that's why there's always in politics, you have to think of the kind of pressure that you put on elected officials as balancing between a carrot and a stick. And when the politicians are doing the right thing, they just need the encouragement, especially in a situation like this, because there is a lot of pressure being exerted from both sides. So giving that very polite, very positive encouragement to keep standing strong is important for them to hear. No matter really the issue, it's just important to do that. DC is just such an awful place.
Yeah.
So that's a way that they can be active as it moves to the Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how incredibly busy you are, and since you're home, I'm certainly not going to ask you to stay through a break. We'll push this break a little bit long so we can talk a couple of minutes anyway about your piece, which opens up with this very famous, or at least it should be made famous, this very famous quote from Congressman Al Green.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
That's the very first sentence of your piece in The Hill. Go ahead and take it from there.
Well, that is why the Democrats are pursuing impeachment, because they're concerned that President Trump will be reelected. And if you go back and look at what President Reagan as candidate in 1980 did, he really summarized the election by asking, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Is it easier for you to buy things in stores than it was 4 years ago? Is there more or less unemployment in the country than there was 4 years ago? Now, this is in 1980 compared to 1976 when President Reagan, was challenging Jimmy Carter, and he was able to defeat Jimmy Carter. If we ask those same questions headed into next November, Democrats are not going to be able to get the answer that they want, because people in this country, because of President Trump, are better off than they were 4 years ago. There have been 7 million new jobs that have been created. Unemployment's gone from 4.8% to 3.5%, and we've had historic lows in unemployment across every single demographic. Wages have gone up. Household income is going up, 401ks are going up, and I think that as people look at what is, whether they are better off under President Trump than they would be under a radical liberal Democrat, I think that they are going to say that it's President Trump who they'll be better off with personally, and that they wind up voting for President Trump.
You spend time with folks like Steve Bannon, who really, you know, laid out some of the blueprint that helped get Donald Trump elected. They utilized the tools at Breitbart. I've never met Bannon. I did meet Andrew Breitbart, and so I have a real fondness for the organization in general. And Bannon has been really supportive of the president's position that he wants a full trial, a full exoneration. And I've been very concerned about Chief Justice presiding over it, the risk of weak Republicans turning it into a circus if it gets into a full trial. And I know what your position has been. Has your position evolved at all? Where do you stand right now on full-blown trial with witnesses or a quick acquittal?
I just think that we need to be able to The president needs to be able to be acquitted and to show that he's fully exonerated. And he and his legal team need to do what it takes to decide that, whether it's a lot of witnesses, a few witnesses, no witnesses. They're the ones who are going to be able to judge that. And I've just sort of decided that instead of pushing one way or the other, I'm going to let them do what they think is best. They have information that I don't have. What I will say is this. If they just brought the evidence over from the House side right now, it's very easy to refute. You don't have to go into a lot more detail, and it could be over very, very quickly. If that happens, I do think there are still some unanswered questions, especially in regards to what was going on with Hunter Biden and then Vice President Biden. And we also need to figure out the rest of the answers, and we may not be able to get these answers until Durham and Attorney General Barr finish the work they're doing about the origins and everything that was happening with foreign interference in our election in 2016, so we don't have a repeat in less than a year from now, and also to make sure that we never have a situation where there's essentially an attempted coup of a president from people who work within the government.
Jenny Beth, we'll leave it there. I wish you a wonderful more few days with your family, some rest, a badly needed break. I know we're going to be on fire locally and nationally with Tea Party Patriots. So grateful for everything you do, and thanks for the generosity of your time here in Denver with us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much, and I hope that all of your listeners have a happy new year. Thank you, Randy.
You better believe it. Take care. All right, late on the break, as usual, 744, Randy Corcoran in for Peter Boyles on 710. It's KNUS.
We now return to the Peter Boyles Show.
Amy Duncan from Alpine Planning Group joins us now. Amy, what are you going to add to all that?
Boy, was that awkward, Randy. My goodness. And I'll tell you what, I know that you've been working with KNUS for a long time as well. I think that 60-second ad might have been about 5 years ago.
No so, kidding. That's hilarious.
My apology to all the listeners that just had to deal with that. But, you know, let's just keep it simple, sir. First of all, happy last Friday of 2019.
Yeah.
Happy last Friday. And, here we are heading into a new year. Just to check the numbers real quick for your listeners, the Dow's up about 70 points. S&P is also positive, so the run continues. You know, we're looking forward to a good year. As I said in the other ad there, Randy, we're local. We're experienced. But I think, you know, if you just need to get the new year started on the right foot, get your retirement plan buttoned up, ask some questions about, you know, wealth management, wealth distribution, wealth creation. We'd love to see if we can try to help. So that's it. And you have an awesome weekend ahead, sir. Thanks for all the good work you did this week while Mr. Boyles was out.
Yeah, it'll be great to have Peter back on Monday morning. Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you and your folks as well, because I won't be talking to you again before the new year.
You're going to finally get a day off, huh?
That's right.
Boy.
Unless you want to call in tomorrow. Got plenty of time then.
No.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
I'll pass, but thanks.
You better believe it. Take it easy. Alpine Planning Group, a comprehensive financial planning firm. They're committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. So I hope you'll call them today at 303-843-0918. 843-0918 at Alpine Planning Group. And there you go with that. All right, we got about 6 minutes until 8 o'clock. Jennifer Kearns is coming up at the top of the hour. Finally, some bright sun outside, but still cold as can be. Expect some snow later on this afternoon. Really has been a weird week, isn't it? How many of us, did you feel like I did coming out of Wednesday, that yesterday felt like Monday? Just totally felt like a Monday. And now here it is Friday already, which is cool. And the weekend ahead. Tomorrow's a special 66-hour edition of Wake Up with Randy Corporan. Deb Flora has the morning part, 6 to 9. I'll be in from 9 to noon. And as I mentioned before, we'll have my buddy Robert Spencer on to talk about this Muslim center going up right there where my cousin and his grandson were murdered by a white supremacist 5.5 years ago. Stuff concerns me. We are... I'm not going to say invaded necessarily, but we are being interwoven into something that I think most people don't understand what's going on. We'll explore that tomorrow. When we come back, though, it's Jennifer Kearns at the top of the hour. Final hour of the Peter Boyle Show ahead. Randy Corporan filling in. You're listening to 710 KNUS.